Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. And now, here are Bob and Richard.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge. I'm Bob Dancer.
And I'm Richard Munchkin.
Our guest today is Jason Pipkin, who makes a lot of bets on Predictit.org. There are a number of election matters where the odds are changing rapidly. Big numbers change every day between now and the election. So we've asked Jason to walk us through the way it works. Normally, we tape our shows a week or more early, but this time we're taping on September 22nd and posting on September 24th, so the information posted is as fresh as possible. Jason Pipkin, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Thanks, Bob. Great to be here.
How did you get started betting at Predictit.org?
In the spring of 2016, I discovered the website and was immediately attracted to the safe money bets at the time. You could buy Hillary Clinton to be the Democratic nominee after she had already wrapped everything up practically for like 90 cents. And you get paid in July a full dollar. And I thought that was great. So I made that bet, and then I kept checking in on it to see how it was going. And I eventually clicked around to see what other markets they offered. And before you knew it, I was hooked. And I began trading every day. Eventually built up my bankroll, went into the general election, lost a big chunk of that bankroll betting on Hillary. Got angry with myself, decided I wanted to learn how to bet correctly, and got better and better, and now I do it semi-professionally ever since.
When you say you wanted to learn how to bet correctly, how did you go about educating yourself?
What I did was I started trading with other people, friends that I met who were also doing Predictit. I met them on the Predictit message boards, believe it or not, and made friends with them, and they were better than me. I saw what moves they were making. I saw the reasoning for why they were doing things. I learned a lot about when you're supposed to take value and when you're not, and when to get into a position and when not to, and that was tremendously helpful. So I learned from others.
Now, what is your background?
So I am a scientist by background, so I did my PhD in neuroscience, and I'm still technically in neuroscience. I am a postdoc in the Boston area, and I do a little bit of teaching on the side. So I come from a quantitative background, but not a gambling background. So I've never done any other kind of speculation. I never played poker, never got into sports. But I always loved politics, and this seemed like a way to monetize that interest.
And we should mention you have a website, right, called predictingpolitics.com?
That's it. That's right. Just a little blog where I put my thoughts from time to time.
And did that start before you started trading, or was that an outgrowth of the trading?
It was an outgrowth. So for a while, Predictit offered markets on various things like how many times Trump would tweet in a week or how his approval ratings would move from week to week. And these were sort of abstruse topics for a lot of people to get into. So I wrote a few guides to them. People said they liked my guides. They wanted to be able to find them somewhere. So then I put my website together, and then, you know, I post from there time to time. Things that I find useful, things that I think other traders might find useful. And otherwise I post my thoughts on Twitter.
Okay. Now let's go through for our listeners how the fee structure works at Predictit.org. Let's say you bet you bet 100 contracts and 99 cents and win.
Yes.
This means you won a whole dollar.
Great winnings, yes.
How much commission does Predictit charge?
So Predictit charges 10% of your profit. So you will have to pay them 10 cents. They will levy 10 cents of that dollar, and you will get 90 cents in payout, and profit payout. So you'll get back your original $99 investment plus 90 cents.
And how does that break in terms of fractions of a penny?
That's a good question that I don't know the answer to off the top of my head. I'd have to check the rounding on that. But I assume they front end, but I don't know.
So to me, a bigger issue than the rake or the VIG is the limits. So, for example, if you took your – if I understand it correctly, you can only have $850 of any one contract. Is that correct?
That's correct. So a contract is – well, yes or no, something happens. So right now we have a market for who will be the next Supreme Court justice or who will Trump nominate. And you have a contract in that market. It's a linked market. So you have a contract for Amy Coney Barrett. You have a contract for Barbara Lagoa, and you have a contract for various other people. In any one of those contracts, you can only have $850 worth of shares at a time. Which is a limit based on maintaining the site's image as a source of academic research. So it was structured on the limit that the Iowa electronic markets used to use for this sort of thing. And it's because of that limit that the website is completely legal and operates under a no action letter from the CFTC.
So when you said that you first got attracted, you saw that you could bet, you know, 90 cents that Hillary Clinton, you know, would be the nominee in 2016.
Right.
So if you can only get 850, you know, basically, you know, you can only win like $8 or something.
No, $80.
No. Yeah. So an $850 investment and 90 cents works out to 944 shares.
I'm sorry. So make
it's 94 shares. You end up making close to $90.
So when it seems to me there's a lot of value in these lay bets. So for example, right now today, you can bet that Hillary Clinton is not going to be the next president and lay 98 to win two. But the problem is you can't really get any money down.
Yeah, so you can get $8.50 down, and you can win yourself $15 doing that. The other option is to, instead of betting against the horde of idiots who think that Hillary Clinton will be the next president, you can walk among the zombies, and you can buy shares for 2 cents, and then you can sell them to even dumber idiots for 3 cents and 4 cents. So if you buy 10,000 shares at 2 cents, you drop $200, you could probably move all 10,000 of those for 3 cents or 4 cents, and you're making $100, $150, $200 on the yes side for something that's completely stupid.
Wait, how do you move the price up to 3 or 4 cents? How does that happen?
Well, let's bear in mind, predicted is trading. So you are buying shares of an outcome, and you're exchanging them with people at any time. So if I buy a yes share at 2 cents, I can simply post an order in the order book and say, I would like, you know, anyone, if you want this share for 3 cents, it is there in the order book. You can take it. And someone else might come along and they might say, yeah, I want that share for 3 cents. They pay 3 cents for it. It's theirs. I collect the profit. They collect my risk.
But wouldn't they automatically get shoved to the, if they could at the same time buy it for 2 cents, why would they pay three?
Well, here's, let's say the market right now for, let's take Kamala Harris, for example. You can buy Kamala for 4 cents on offer. There are 300 shares that I'm looking at that you could buy. But if you want her for 3 cents, you have to wait. So you would have to put an order in at 3 cents and wait until someone else is paying no for 97, or until someone else sells you, dumps their shares for 3 cents into you. So you buy on the bid side, you wait till you have your offers filled, and then you can post a sell on the sell side. So that's how you, in order to get shares at 2 cents, you have to wait in line behind other people selling their 98 cent no's and or other people buying 2 cent yes shares.
Uh-huh.
Otherwise, now, yes, you're right. You could post something way up. You could try to sell for 10 and just hope the price runs all the way up there as well.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong here, but it seems like for example, right now, I think Biden is at 58 cents.
Right.
So if you wanted to bet on Trump, you could – couldn't you bet the no on Biden, and then there's also a Trump contract and a yes on Trump, and thereby get twice as much money down?
Absolutely. So you can do what we call double max. So on predicted, the lingo is if you're putting 850 in a contract, you've maxed the contract because you've put the maximum amount of risk into it. You can double max by maxing no on Biden and yes on Trump. And there's no other places on the website that you can get money down on Trump. You can bet on the party of the winner of the 2020 election. So you could buy, you could max yes on Republican and no on Democrat. There's a contract for a woman VP. There's all sorts of contracts. And I think the maximum you can get down, if you were wanted to be the kind of person that just puts money straight up and down, is probably around 9,000 or 10,000 on Biden. And I think around 8,000 on Trump across all the duplicative contracts.
Huh. And do you know, is there a restriction on, for example, can I have an account and my wife also have an account?
Yep, that's common. That's absolutely common.
Oh, so you can have more than one account per household?
Yes, you can. It's per person.
Ah, okay.
So then you can have a four-pole max.
Well, in my case, yeah, I have two kids living with me, too, so I could, yeah.
Well, if they are over 18, then yeah.
Yeah, they are.
You sort of have three.
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah. So
I'll let our listeners worry about that one.
So if you look at Betfair, which is a betting exchange that has some of these kind of bets – often there is a price discrepancy, and Betfair has far more liquidity than predicted.
Right.
Does that make Betfair a better predictor of the correct price?
I don't think so, because I think their prices are too aggressive for Trump, but that's my opinion. They often tend to be a little bit more bullish on Republicans than predicted is. And predicted, I think, is too bullish on Republicans to begin with. If you're a believer in the efficient market hypothesis, which I am not really, then yes, you would think that the more liquidity means the smarter the market, the sharper the market. I think in practice, how sharp a market is totally a function of how sharp the traders are. And you can have a market with lots of dumb money in it, and if most of the money is dumb, then the price is going to be dumb. And if most of the money is sharp, then you're going to end up with a sharp price. And Betfair has other dynamics going on. I know that, you know, I've heard from people that also operate in those overseas worlds that sometimes you'll get books that take a lot of action on Trump, and then they feel like they need to hedge, so they'll go to the Betfair's exchange and move a lot of volume trying to hedge, because obviously on the exchange, you know, that money isn't fully gone. You could always sell it back later to get yourself back into a more angled position. So I can't speak to all the dynamics that go on there. But in general, I probably like predicted's prices better, at least for 2020.
Huh. Go ahead, Bob.
You sound like a political science junkie.
I am.
And you have presumably strong... I don't know. Is it politics in general, or do you have a strong partisan bias one way or the other? And does that bias interfere with you making money?
I definitely have a bias. I'm a I'm a Democratic voter. I'm an Obama Warren voter. Those are my politics. The thing about bias and betting, I mean, it matters, right? How you tend to discount or accept certain kinds of information will be influenced by your political bias. I'll be more excited by a poll that shows Biden doing well in Georgia and more willing to dismiss one that shows him doing poorly in Minnesota or something like that. But it's not the biggest influence on how much money I make, or at least that's what I found. The biggest influence are just your personality traits. So if you're a trader who is very stubborn, and when you go underwater, you want to put more money down because you're convinced that you're right and the market's wrong, even though it's moved against you. Or if you're a trader who has really sweaty hands, and as soon as things go against you, you want to panic and sell and dump and take a small loss. Those things have a far bigger influence on your profitability than your overall political bias, in my opinion.
So I noticed today on the Biden contract, if you wanted Trump, he was 42. But if you went to the Trump contract and wanted Trump, he was 45.
Right.
So normally in sports betting, if you had, you would be able to arbitrage that situation. But at predicted, because of the juice on every winning bet, that you would not be able to arbitrage that.
Exactly. And even if you could, so even if there weren't the 10 cent profit fee,
yeah,
the amount of money, the betting limit makes that arbitrage really unattractive.
Right.
Like guaranteeing yourself 3 cents in profit on an event 3 months from now, when you can only get 850 or 1700 down if you're double maxing, I don't think that's worth your time. You can probably find you can definitely find much better value in ways to spend your money on this site, particularly if you have some experience and know what you're doing. If you're coming from a sports betting background and you're used to like high frequency, low payout arbitrages, it's much more profitable here to find an edge, because the edges are plentiful in political betting. And exploiting that edge by angling your positions.
How actively are you trading in and out of positions?
All the time, and it sort of depends on the market. If the market's high volume and high liquidity, meaning lots of people are trading back and forth every day, then I'm going to be one of them trading back and forth. And the reason is that, let's say I take Trump right now at 45, right? Let's say I think Trump's going to win. You know, I could max him, and I could wait, and I'll make $1,800 in November. But it's possible just by buying it at 45 and then selling at 46 and 47 or over and over and over again in between now and then, if I think the price is going to be stable for a while, I may end up making more than that. So maximizing your profit is a matter of both predicting the outcome and also predicting price movements and, you know, a little bit of faith in your own ability to adjust to the news and whatever other swings may come along the way.
Yeah, it seems like what's important is not who's going to win, but how volatile is a contract going to be, because it seems like some contracts are really volatile. You know, a poll comes out in, you know, Pennsylvania, and suddenly a contract is going to move dramatically.
Right. Volatility is a function of uncertainty and liquidity. So if you have something like the vice presidential market that we had for Kamala Harris for a while back. It wasn't really clear who Biden was going to pick. Everyone sort of thought it was Kamala, but there weren't a lot of really solid leaks. Susan Rice's name kept coming up. Karen Bass came up. There was a ton of interest and not a lot of certainty. And as a result, prices fluctuated wildly, particularly in the last week. Kamala dropped all the way to 15 cents or 12 cents or something a couple days before she won, just because some someone got spooked, the market got spooked by someone saying, oh, it's definitely going to be rice on Twitter, some source or the other. So those situations can be extremely profitable if you're either A, playing the swings, or B, just waiting around for that perfect entry price.
When you buy, do you put out sell contracts immediately? Is that part of your strategy?
It depends on the market. Again, if it's high volume, yes, I'll probably set a sell. If it's something I'm comfortable holding for longer or till resolution, then no. Whenever I make a purchase or a trade, I try to have some strategy in mind for how I plan to profit on that trade or when I plan to exit the position if it's going sour. So, for example, say right now I own a lot of Biden and I own a lot of Trump. No. So I'm betting on Biden's value to increase in the short term. I think he'll probably have a better debate than expectations. And I think the market will respond to that. And maybe I'll sell after that, or maybe I'll wait a little longer, see how polls go into October, that sort of thing. So I'm always thinking about where are my potential exits, where are my potential profit-taking points, when is the market going to be done moving in a direction and I might as well just sell, even if it's below what I think value is, that sort of thing.
Do you ever do any what I guess we would call black swan betting, where you just scoop up 1 cent contracts under the idea that black swans come occasionally and find value that way?
I will trade penny shares if I think they have value or I think they might go up. There are penny shares win on predicted way more than they ought to. So, of course, identifying when that's going to happen is the trick, right? If you predicted, for instance, that Amy Klobuchar would drop out after South Carolina and endorse Joe Biden that weekend, you could have bought Joe Biden to win Minnesota for a penny, for big volume, all the week before he won it. And I think that would have been a reasonable prediction to make. I think I didn't make it, but I think someone who sat there and thought about it could have come up with that thesis and said, you know what, yeah, I'll pay a penny for that thesis. And they would have gotten paid off handsomely. So these things happen. Sometimes I buy them to hedge. Right now I own 10,000 shares of Mike Pence to be the next president. I bought those way back in the spring before COVID with the idea that, you know, if Trump, something happens to Trump's health or he gets infected or whatever, I want to have some equity in case I'm not around to adjust my positions. So they can also be useful as a hedge.
If you knew then what you know now, other than the outcome of the election, would you have sold your Hillary Clinton contracts before the actual day of the election?
Even better than that, I would have sold them on election night when I had the chance, because I'll tell you what happened. In 2016, everyone thought that Hillary would win. And so when Florida's early vote reported, she was massively winning in the state. And when you're on election night, this is now, if a sports betting analogy, it's transitioned from pre-event betting to live in-play. So it's seamlessly. The contracts, the markets are left open. And you're now betting as the results come in. It looked like she was going to win. She was way up. And she went as high as 95 cents to be the next president as a result at about 7:45 p.m. on election night in 2016. And that's when I wish I would have sold. But I didn't, because I thought she was going to win, and I got greedy holding out for that extra 5 cents. And then things turned from there.
I have a friend who did did the same thing and held on. And
yeah, you get convinced, you get greedy. You know, there's no point. If the market's giving you 95 that early, take the 95. You know, who cares about the 5 cents? You can get that back later.
Do you use 538 as any kind of a reference for your positions?
I do a lot of actually study of their model and the markets and comparing their accuracies. For instance, in 2018, their Deluxe model that predicted the outcomes in House and Senate races was the best of anything. It beat the markets, but the markets beat every other version of their model and every other model out there. So, yeah, I pay attention to them. I also run little contests this cycle where I have people submit their predictions for what the margin of victory will be in various contests. And so I'm going to stack up to see how well various people do versus the markets versus 538's predictions when all the dust settles. So that's a topic of fascination for me, but their models aren't the gospel truth. They have soft spots just like any.
How much computer analysis do you do in determining what your bets are going to be?
I do a lot of work with analyzing data, election data, that sort of thing. But the modeling I do is very crude. To be a savvy political bettor, you don't really need a super fancy model. There's so much uncertainty baked into anything anyway that it's unlikely you'll find a great edge that way. Instead, you will find edge in really, sort of unique situations particular to a given market. For example, if you know where to look for when a county in a particular state posts its results and you know where that website is, that's a little bit of an edge that, you know, you're not going to get from a model. So, there's a fair bit of web scraping, of course, goes into everything. But advanced modeling, there's too much uncertainty, and the guys like 538 do it well enough anyway.
You mentioned that the forums were a place that really helped you improve. Are they still active? Are you active on those forums? And where would we find those? Where would our listeners find those?
Yeah, I mean, you could just go to any market, scroll down, and you will find a Discus. Discus is the web company comment section you would find on many websites. Some are more civil than others. If you go to the presidential election market, you're going to find a very rowdy board. If you venture off into, we have weekly markets now on how many absentee ballots will Democrats cast in North Carolina, you're going to find a much sharper group of people in there. So, you know, it depends. They're kind of like choose your own party. If you want to really like debate politics with people spamming things, you can go to the presidential election market and post there. And if you want some more refined wine sipping discussion, you can go elsewhere.
But is the discussion about betting, or is it about
It's usually about the market that's the page.
It should.
Is on.
Okay. All right.
So, you know, it's people saying, oh, I like this, I like that. Maybe they're pumping their positions. Maybe they're trying to post things that make themselves feel good about the investments they've made. Maybe they're trying to get other people to take their shares off their hands. I don't know. Usually it's just people talking about what they think the value of various things is, or just talking trash.
It sounds like you would qualify as what we would call a sharp bettor. What percentage, and where the sharp bettor would be, we'll say a winning player.
Okay.
Where
who can beat the rake?
Yeah, who can beat the rake?
Yeah.
And consistently over time.
Yeah.
What percentage of the bettors on there can actually do that? A 10% rake sounds pretty high.
That's a good question. I don't know the answer off the top of my head. I would assume it is low. I would assume that at least 60%, 65% of people are losing money. Obviously, it's a negative-sum game, so more money gets lost than won by traders because predicted's taking that 10% rake. But I don't know the actual distribution of winnings. There are some of us who, I mean, it's a very long-tailed distribution. So there are lots of people that find long-term edge, like myself, that are able to profit fairly consistently from it. But the vast majority, I assume, of small traders come in, have 100 $200 here or there and, you know, have fun with it and end up losing it. But I don't have the numbers for that for you.
Yeah, my guess would be it'd be a lot higher than 60 are losing players.
Conservative. My guess is there's a fairly high number of losing players out there.
But, you know, remember, we think of this, I mean, 10%, it's not really 10%, right? But it's hard to figure out what it is given that contracts are all different prices. But, you know, horse racing, people are beating 20, 25%, 30% on some bets, you know. So this isn't that outrageous.
Right. I mean, to put into context, my winnings are about three times my losses plus my fees, right? Which is a fairly substantial profit ratio, or win ratio, I should say.
Yeah.
Other people are probably a lot lower than that, but anywhere from, you know, as long as you're over one, you're winning. So 1.1 up to four would probably be the range that you'd find with most people underneath one.
How often do you have both sides of a contract at different prices in order to guarantee a win?
So you can only do that, of course, if you have a contract like the presidential race where you can buy yes on one and yes on the other or no on both, for example. If it's just a, you know, will something happen contract, you can only take one side or the other at a given point. I am usually a fairly polarized player. I like to stay on one side or the other of a bet. There is a quite viable strategy unpredicted called negative risk, where you can take advantage of volatility in a multiple contract market by basically shorting, buying no shares in each contract as they hit their peak value. And you can end up with a position where you literally can't lose money and where, in fact, you're guaranteed to make money and the website will credit you that money as a result, even as you build the position. So in the Democratic nomination market, I think prior to any votes being cast, if you had played perfectly, you could have guaranteed yourself about $2,500 in profit. Of course, it's hard to play perfectly, but that is a viable strategy.
So you said in a couple different ways, volatility is your friend.
Yes.
What makes for a volatile contract, and what makes for a non-volatile contract?
A volatile contract is, again, one where you have a lot of uncertainty about the outcome, where people just don't know. Either they don't know how to play it, they're unfamiliar with it, or there's just genuinely a lot of uncertainty. So a very close election might be very volatile because results may come in that favor one candidate, that then more come in that favor the other. So Doug Jones versus Roy Moore in 2017 was a great example. The market swung back and forth a couple of times over the course of the market's history. Sometimes markets will flip. That's what we call when one side goes odds on and then the other side and then vice versa a few times during a night. So close elections are a great example. And then what makes a market that's not volatile would be something where everyone knows the answer and the only thing that's going on are people buying lotto tickets that everybody's wrong or just waiting to get paid. So some sort of surefire bet, like will The Rock run for president in 2020? That sort of thing's not really moving around much these days.
What about So, for example, are the Supreme Court bets right now, are those seeing a lot of volatility?
Yeah, those have plenty of action right now. We have markets both on who the nominee will be and on when the Senate will vote on confirmation of that nominee. And both are reasonably confident that the nominee will be Amy Coney Barrett and that she will be voted on prior to the election. But they're not so confident that the market doesn't consider it a lock. So both propositions are trading around 75% probability. But those have moved around a lot. So there was a time a couple days ago where Barbara Lagoa was trading above 50 and then Amy came back later that night to trade above 50 herself. So
but
these things definitely happen.
To be voted on before the election, they could still do it in a lame duck Congress after the election before January 21st, though, right?
You can buy that right now on offer for 28 cents. The reason that the pre-election thing has picked up so much steam today is that, you know, Mitt Romney has come along and said he's fine with it whenever she gets to the floor. And because folks like Lindsey Graham who's the judiciary chairman, have been making noises that they want it done before the election. Nothing set in stone. The Senate has plenty of other business to attend to. Stuff happens. You could imagine this vote happening just after the election as well, but there's some uncertainty. If you go after the election and Trump lost a resounding defeat, maybe it, you know, leaves a worse taste in the voters' mouths than if you do it before. Maybe if you do it before, you rile up your own base. So these are the considerations the market's trying to price in right now.
Now, do you trade any – there are bets on foreign elections. Do you trade any of those?
I try, you know, sometimes that's the only thing going on, so I'll show up. But if I don't know a lot about something in general, I try to avoid it. But, you know, sometimes it's fun and you want to gamble, so you go in and you trade. I think we have New Zealand is coming up, for instance. So I'll probably play that when that happens.
Well, I wondered about, like, do you take a year and a half off after the presidential election, or is there stuff going on in that two-year period to bet?
Right. That's a great question. I mean, that's a great question, and one that Predicted's struggling with themselves right now. They were, you know, they used to offer a lot of weekly contracts that could go on indefinitely. So my bread and butter was something called tweet markets, where you bet on how many times the president would tweet in a week, or various other accounts, how many times they would tweet in a week. This is a really popular game. It's simple to understand. People love it.
And it's over quick.
And it's quick. It's a one-week expiry market, so with lots and lots of volatility, and some weeks he'll be quiet. And some weeks he'll wake up on Sunday and he'll tweet 100 times before noon. So you have that sort of element to it. That made it was a tremendously successful market. But for whatever reason, those aren't offered anymore right now. We don't know why. Probably regulators got mad at them. So it's unclear what will happen in the short term in 2021. Probably things are more boring because if Biden wins, a Biden presidency will be fundamentally more boring than a Trump presidency, at least in terms of betting. But we'll see. There's always something going on. There will be special elections. There will be the Virginia and Kentucky elections and so on. So there's always something happening.
The Schitt's Creek school board election.
I mean,
before we ask him for his prediction on Schitt's Creek, we have a few commercials, and then we'll be back talking to Jason Pipkin. The South Point has more than 10,000 games returning more than 99%. This is more than anyone else has. In September, the promotion is the $500,000 Guaranteed Money Madness, where you have two casino-wide progressives running at all times. The major one must be hit between $10,000 and $25,000. All players playing when it goes off receive $25 in free play if they were not the lucky winner. To be eligible for the $25 in free play, play any machine with your card inserted and have played at least $1 in the previous minute. The minor jackpot must be hit between $1,000 and $2,500 and is scheduled to be hit approximately three times a day. At predicted.org, there's a market where you can place small bets on the occurrence of various political events. All I want to say now is our listeners receive a one-time offer of a deposit match up to $20 at predicted.org/promo/edge. You must play with the money through once and cannot withdraw it for 30 days. And given how much we've been talking about predicted.org, that's all they get today. Blackjackapprenticeship.com is an excellent site for those of you who wish to become successful at counting cards at blackjack. A recent free video posted deals with Colin's five biggest regrets as a blackjack player. As I listened to it, I found it applied to video poker players almost as much as it did to blackjack players. There are a number of additional videos posted behind the paywall for members only. VideoPoker.com is the best place to play lots of games. If you sign up for the Gold membership, $8.95 a month or $79.95 a year, this allows you to get correction on most of the games. The game of the week is Split Card Poker. This is a 10 coins per hand game where periodically on the deal or on the draw, but never both, you receive a split card. A split card may be any card. Once the split card is chosen, the additional card may be, with equal probability, the same card, the card lower, or the card higher. For example, if the ace of clubs is a split card, it is equally likely to become the ace king of clubs, the ace two of clubs, or two aces of clubs. The only pay schedule addition is the five of a kind on non-wildcard games and five deuces on deuces wild variations. All right, we are back talking with Jason Pipkin. I'm planning to move on unless you did have something to say about the Schitt's Creek election.
That's all right.
Okay. Do you ever suggest a betting market to predicted.org?
All the time. And every now and then they will they'll take one of my suggestions. I wish they did more, but they're generally receptive. So you can email them suggestions, and if they like it, it might show up in a little bit.
So, for example, I was going to say, could you give us an example of a recent one?
Recently I and a couple other people independently actually suggested this market on how many ballots would be cast in North Carolina, just as a weekly market that would give us something to do while we're waiting for the election. So that's one recent one. You want to go way back, after 2016, they put out a call for new weekly markets, and my group of friends came up with the idea for tweet markets back in December of 2016. So we suggested that, and then they became very popular. So they do listen from time to time.
Well, you're one of their biggest players. I would assume you would have a bigger vote. They would listen better to you than most others, or I assume it doesn't matter to them that you're a winning player because they're getting their edge, whoever wins, and they don't really care who the winning players are.
Yeah, exactly. There's no, you don't get kicked out of the shop for being a sharp player because it's an exchange. So you're not taking the house's money. You are taking the money from other people betting.
Okay. Now, predicted.org sounds very similar to option trading, puts and calls. Yeah. How is it similar? How is it different?
It's similar in the sense that you're trading. So you're dealing with a security that can exchange hands. So you could buy options and then sell them the next day, right? That's different from sports betting in general, because in sports betting, unless you're on an exchange, you are buying a position. And then if you want to capture any short-term value and change of that line, I'm guessing you have to, you know, go to some other book and buy the other way to sort of zero yourself out or capture that value. Predict it, you can trade back and forth and sell at any moment's time, just the same as you could if you were buying stocks or trading options. And it's like options in the sense that you also have an expiry. So if there's some time when the market will come to an end, and that time, that passage of time, will influence the value of the contracts in the market in some way. And it's also like options in the sense that they're often designed to allow traders to speculate on how events will influence things. So you might buy options calls because you think Tesla's stock or Tesla's quarterly report is going to show great numbers, and the stock price will go up, for instance. So that sort of thing, anticipating an event and how that event might influence the value of some underlying thing is also true and predict it. For instance, if you were betting on the debate next week, you might think, Biden is going to stumble and have a huge gaffe, and Trump's going to run away with things. And so you could place a bet on Trump, expecting that his value might increase as a result, or you could think the opposite and place a bet on Biden instead.
What percentage of your bets are held until completion?
A small percentage of my trades are held till completion. So of the shares that I buy, probably fewer than 5% end up reaching expiry. Most of them I'm selling prior to expiry, either because I'm trading back and forth or because I'm selling those shares at 99 cents in order to free up that money to spend elsewhere. But, I'm often, since I'm a day trader, basically, and I'm trying to capture day-to-day changes in prices and predict swings, most of my trades are shorter term than the duration of a market.
Now, on the stock market, a lot of day traders want to have no positions at the end of the night. It's only they have positions active during the day, but they never go to bed with live contracts.
Sure.
This sounds like this is not your strategy at all.
No, it's because it's not that intense. I mean, if you are a day trading the stock market, the market for you is likely not to be open all the time, whereas predicted is open all the time. And in some cases, there aren't too many events that could really toss you underwater in every bet you own. So there are, of course, things out there that could. Let me give you an example. If you're betting on Biden to win the presidency, it's unlikely you go to bed and wake up and find out that something's happened to dramatically change those odds. But it is possible he got infected by the virus and the news broke while you were asleep or away doing something else, in which case you are swimming deeply underwater.
He's 77, right? He could have a heart attack.
Yeah, so you have – there's always those sort of black swan things that you could either hedge for or just accept the risk of happening. But no, I hold my positions during times when I'm not at the computer quite frequently. And I've gotten better at knowing which ones are more dangerous than others over time. And that's something everyone will learn for themselves.
The other thing is that the transaction costs on the options are really tiny, whereas here they're 10%. And, you know, so that's
– I should clarify. It's 10% on your profit.
Yeah.
For options, I think it depends where you're going. Some places they may charge you per transaction. So, on Predicted, you don't have to pay money to buy a share or to sell a share for a loss. So you can buy one share at a time, and you're never paying any money for that. Whereas with options, you know, I think some places, if you're not on Robinhood or whatever, they're going to charge you some flat fee for every trade you place.
Do you welcome contact from our listeners? And if so, how should they get in touch with you?
Sure, absolutely. You can reach me on Twitter is the best place. I am at Jipkin, J-I-P-K-I-N. And hit me up in the DMs or shoot me a tweet. And I'm always happy to talk shop.
And we will put links to your website and your Twitter in the show notes. So.
Terrific.
Now, are you a married man? And if so, how did your wife go with this constant gambling?
I'm not.
Gambling at all?
I'm not, although I know traders that are, and they, you know, it just depends on the person, the relationship, I'm sure. But some people, it's more friction than others. Depends on how successful you are as well. But I'm not, so I don't struggle with any of those challenges.
Uh-huh. And when you go out socially, do you tell people what you do, or is it like too complicated and you just say, I sell insurance or something?
No, I mean, if people ask me what I do, I say, yeah, I'm a neuroscientist, but I also bet on politics. And people love talking about that. They find it very
interesting. Yeah, I bet they do.
So I have no problems talking about it.
Well, good. It's been a pleasure to have you on our show. Thank you very much. I wish you success in your bets, and hope it's a long career for you.
All right. Thank you. It's been a pleasure being here.
Okay. Richard, the end of the show, we have recommended. Do you have something to recommend to our listeners?
I do. So my recommendation this week is a website called mynoise.net. And basically, you know, during these quarantine times, I have a house full of people, and sometimes it's hard to concentrate and focus. And so basically, some people have these machines that give white noise or whatever. That's what this website does. So I can put on my headphones and listen to rain or, you know, forest sounds or waves lapping on the beach. And, you know, it's free. And so it's just a great website if you want to put on your headphones and zone out. The other thing that's cool about it is they have these little like sliders so that you can adjust the sounds, you know. So if you're in the forest and you want more crickets or more birds, you can adjust the sliders and tailor make your own, you know, your own particular forest.
And if there's construction going on next door, you'll never hear it.
Exactly.
Be in your forest and allow you to do whatever it is that you wanted to do.
Yep.
Sounds good. All right. So thank you again, Jason. Thank you again, Richard. Go out and hit lots of royal flushes, everybody. Good day.